5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Jumping on the show right off the bat here to talk all things Colorado State men's hoops as they're getting set to go up against a very tough team in San Diego State in the second round of the Mountain West Tournament coming up at 1 o'clock. We have the one and only Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and live from Las Vegas. Kevin, my man, it looked really good for a while for CSU. Then it got scary, but thanks to Isaiah Stevens, the Rams found their way past the first round in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, just yawn, another Isaiah Stevens game winner, you know, the 2000th of his career here at CSU. But yeah, really weird. It shouldn't have come to that is the reality of the thing. But it's nice to have that ace in your back pocket, I guess, to save and salvage a game. Because CSU was so comfortable. I mean, CSU was up 12 with 7:15 left in the game. And, you know, Fresno State obviously can struggle to score. CSU was scoring at a pretty good clip. I thought it was game over. CSU was good to go. And then, you know, Fresno hit a couple shots. There was that weird three with the technical after it, which felt like a fairly questionable call, but that definitely changed things. But even with that, CSU, you know, kind of collapsed. They should not have been in that situation. Go down three inside the final minute. And then, you know, Zay hit the game winner, which obviously is huge, but he also had the layup and a foul earlier, you know, 30 seconds earlier to tie the game. So, man, that kid is just incredible in those situations. So, yeah, I mean, CSU, probably about 30 minutes, you felt really good about how they played, and probably 7 or 8, you really didn't like how they played. But, you know, the old cliche, it doesn't really matter how you win in March as long as you win.
Yeah, well, that was big, I think. Just, you know, again, it wasn't quite a great season at all by Colorado State, but at least they can say, hey, we got past that first round. So I suppose that's something. But now going up against San Diego State, I don't know, Kevin. I mean, the first game, or one of the games, I think, was kind of more of a blowout. But then there was another game where CSU took them to overtime. So I'm guessing there's a realistic possibility that the Rams could pull off a major upset today.
Yeah, I mean, CSU should have won the game in Fort Collins. They kind of had control of that for most of the game. And then, yeah, San Diego State was able to force overtime, and then kind of San Diego State went crazy in that overtime. But, yeah, you know, the Aztecs are one of those. We know what they are. They're, you know, really good defensively, but most nights they don't shoot really great. And as long as that's the case, you can kind of hang in. And, you know, CSU, obviously, Isaiah is Isaiah. We expect he'll probably have a pretty good game. And then the big second piece is John Tonje is playing great. Over the last 10 games, he's averaging 18 a game, and three of his last four, he's over 20. So if you can get that John Tonje today, that absolutely puts CSU right in the mix in this one. And, you know, not to use the silly Vegas pun, but the Rams are kind of with house money today. If you lose, it's what everyone expected. But obviously, if you win, it would be huge. So, you know, it should be a pretty loose and free performance, you would think.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was talking to Isaiah a little bit last week was, you know, given the situation and the way, you know, injuries, sickness, just overall not coming together, you get to this point where, you know, last year you felt pressure, maybe not so much in the Mountain West tournament, but you just felt pressure because the expectations were so high. Completely different story this time around where there's no pressure. I mean, not a lot of people are going to pick CSU to upset San Diego State. So who knows? Sometimes that bodes well for a team like CSU when it comes to these tournaments, especially because San Diego State's already set. They're going dancing. Is there a chance that they come out a little sluggish in a game like this in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, I think that can happen. You know, San Diego State's in the interesting position, like you said. They're a deadlock for the NCAA tournament. They're just playing for seeding, and frankly, I'm not sure the Mountain West tournament is going to change their seeding that much, you know, one way or another. And then also, there's a little bit of a vibe around San Diego State that, well, maybe making the Mountain West title game every year is kind of wearing us out leading into the NCAA tournament, and that's part of why we keep losing the NCAA tournament. Yeah, whether that's reality or not, I don't know, but it's being discussed in San Diego. You know, San Diego State has made the conference final in every year Brian Dutcher has been the head coach. That's going to end sometime. Again, I'm not sitting here saying TSU is going to win or anything, but this is the type of matchup where weird stuff happens because I think even people at San Diego State would probably admit that, you know, CSU, when fully functioning, isn't probably the type of 8 seed you're used to seeing, because we know CSU on its day can be quite good. They just have, like you said, all the limitations due to the injuries and illness and all that type of stuff.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is there on site getting set to cover this game coming up at 1 o'clock. Kevin, what did the Rams do last year? Obviously, we know they made it to March Madness. When did they get knocked out of the tournament, out of the conference tournament?
Yep, they were semifinalists last year, so, you know, they were second or third in the league, so they got that first round bye, so they didn't have to play that Wednesday game. Won the first game against Utah State, if memory serves, and then played San Diego State, of course, in the semifinals, and lost to San Diego State. So these teams, of course, are super familiar with each other. There are absolutely no secrets. They know exactly what each other are going to do. So there's a lot of familiarity, and but yeah, CSU hasn't made a conference final in a long time. Obviously, they'd have to win two more to do that. But again, you know, house money, you know, no one expects this team to do anything here. So why not, you know, be pretty loose about it?
Yeah, and that's what's interesting. I mean, I think last year, by the time we got to the tournament, maybe not everybody felt this way, but I was certainly looking at the tournament like, okay, that's neato. If they go on and win it, whatever, they're already going dancing. That's the number one goal, I think, for most teams, is to find a way to get into the overall tournament. And yeah, they want to win their conference tournament and everything. That's big. I guess you'd have to ask individually what means more. But I would say most college players want a shot at the dance. So it did feel kind of like that tournament last year was secondary. And you're right. That's a great point with San Diego State. Maybe that's how they're mentally not going to admit it, but maybe mentally there's something there.
Yeah, no, I mean, 100% last year. You know, obviously, like you said, CSU would have loved to win a conference title, but that team's focus from the first day that they missed the tournament the year before was to get to the big dance. So the Mountain West tournament was just kind of part of the formula that you used to get there, but their goal was the tournament, not winning the Mountain West, you know, conference tournament. And so, yeah, by the time CSU got to Vegas, they were pretty much a lock. They, you know, it was wise to not lose that quarterfinal game to, you know, not put any doubt in any minds. But once they did that, they were 100% a lock. So, yeah, it was a different mentality. And, you know, they, like I said, the main goal for them last year was making the NCAA tournament. And I'm not in San Diego. You know, I'm not covering them every day. But I would imagine that that team's number one goal is probably to win in the NCAA tournament rather than, you know, let's go see if we can win the Mountain West tournament. I would guess that winning next week in the big dance is the A1 goal for that team.
Well, and that's the pressures on the Mountain West in that tournament as well. I mean, we want to see, if you're a Mountain West fan, I don't care, you know, Wyoming, CSU, whatever, even though your season's, Wyoming's done, we'll see what happens with CSU. You're rooting for these teams in the Mountain West to go on and show out, because we are in such a strange time in college sports where the only thing that you're going to do to help yourself is win and represent your conference in the right way.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Mountain West really needs, you know, a victory or two in this tournament, because San Diego State is in. They're a lock. Boise State, I think, is pretty much a lock. And then Utah State and Nevada today are probably playing for their lives. They both, if you want to get in, if you're either of those teams, probably have to win at least today to get in. So Mountain West is in. You know, it could probably slide down to, you know, quote-unquote, only two teams, but it could probably boost up to four. So it's an important couple days for Mountain West, and then next week is important-er, if we can make up a word there, because you do need a win, especially a team like San Diego State that's going to be, you know, probably about a 5 seed. You can't have them go one and done this year.
Kevin Lytle joining us. You had tweeted out something very cool about Patrick Cartier and how he has really been coming on for this team and what his season might look like next year for CSU, where maybe he's flirting with an all-conference type of deal. I mean, he's been a very solid player throughout the season for him. And in a season, again, where there's been a lot of inconsistencies with players out and just not overall getting what you thought you were going to get, Cartier's been a pretty consistent piece to what this Rams team's trying to do.
Yeah, he's a really good offensive player. He's so smooth. He can kind of turn, spin both ways, finish both hands. really nice offensive player. And, you know, you always wonder how it will translate D2 to D1, and he's clearly shown that he can score at elite D1 level, and he led the conference in shooting percentage. So that goes to tell you. He obviously struggles defensively, and I think part of that, or part of his, you know, kind of all-conference bid next year will come down to who he's paired with inside, because he's kind of playing as a five this year when he's probably more a power forward. You know, yesterday he had to try and handle the big guy from Fresno State, and, you know, to be really frank, he did not handle the big guy from Fresno State offensively, although Fresno State's saying the same thing of, well, our guy scored, but he sure couldn't defend Cartier. So, you know, I think some, you know, whoever it is, if he has some good help inside, he'll just flourish even more, because I think he has a chance to be a really, really good player for the Rams next year.
All right, Kevin, so tell us, what do the Rams need to do? You mentioned, okay, Tanjay, can he keep it going? He's had a really nice month. He's coming on strong. But specifically, how do they slow San Diego State down? How do the Rams find ways to get a lot of buckets today?
Yeah, the couple big things, you know, Tanjay has won. CSU is 12-5 when he has 14 or more points, so you need him to get going. That's always a good sign of success. And then most importantly, San Diego State's going to turn you over some. You're going to turn the ball over some, but they need to make sure it's not those, you know, the catastrophic, you know, pick six turnovers, as Nico Medved calls them. You know, if you, you know, have a pass, you know, deflected off your leg and out of bounds, okay, you know, you don't want to do that a ton, but, you know, you at least get to go set your defense. But you can't have those lazy passes where, you know, Matt Bradley or Lamont Butler, you know, grabs and races to the other end for a dunk, because, like I say, San Diego State can struggle to score. You cannot give them freebies, because, you know, a free 2 points for San Diego State probably counts as about four, because they're that good defensively.
Any surprise player you think is going to come out and do something big today? I mean, we're expecting Isaiah Stevens to do Isaiah Stevens things. Tanjay's been solid. Cartier, as we talked about. Do you see a guy like maybe Jalen Lake or Isaiah Rivera, good players? Yeah. Maybe one of those guys, an unsung hero on this team, does something special today?
Well, I think you have, if you're going to, you know, CSU's going to win, that has to happen. I don't think you can just have, you know, Isaiah and Tanjay put, you know, combined for 50 and think you're going to win that way. That's hard to do. So, yeah, I think you're going to need something from Lake or Rivera, or probably the two main candidates for that. So that's another, I think, telling thing to look for. You know, if you're looking for keys early in this game, how does Tanjay look and how do Lake and Rivera look? We know Zay is probably going to be Zay, but those other guys, that's going to be a real turning pivotal point in this one.
Now, the rest of the tournament, Kevin, again, this Mountain West Conference has been such a joy to watch throughout the season. We saw Wyoming's season end. Unfortunate for them, too. Jeff Linder, of course, wasn't there. He's here in the state with his ill father, and you just hate to see that. Good guy. But New Mexico moves on. When you look at the rest of this tournament here, I mean, again, a lot of these matchups are going to be a lot of fun, regardless of what CSU ends up doing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm excited. I'm particularly excited for Nevada-San Jose State today. You know, like I said, Nevada pretty much has to win to keep tournament hopes alive. And San Jose State, as we've talked about several times with Tim Miles, is just doing a pretty phenomenal turnaround. So that one's really fascinating. Utah State is playing for its tournament life. You just have some really good matchups. So, yeah, I think this tournament is well-primed for the next 3 days.
Tim Miles, you mentioned him. He gets the Mountain West Conference Coach of the Year. I mean, we saw him turn around teams. You know, he turned around CSU a little bit there, of course. He went on to Nebraska. He's done some great things in his career. But how did he do this, Kevin? What was it? Tim Miles just had the magic hand there in a short time with San Jose State.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. You know, it helps, you know, he inherited Omari Moore, and he's really turned into, you know, he's Mountain West Player of the Year. He's turned into an incredible player. So, you know, kudos to, I guess, the previous staff for recruiting him and Miles for keeping him and growing what he's doing. But you just have a team that, you know, knows their roles. They're really bought in. They play pretty ferocious defense. You know, if you watch San Jose State once, you kind of say, you know, like, okay, they're okay. But then you keep watching them, and it's like, man, they just kind of do it all pretty decent at a rate good enough to win. So, yeah, Tim is doing an awesome job. I frankly think this is probably about the last week for Tim Miles in the Mountain West.
Wow.
You know, I guess maybe an NIT bid next week. But I would be pretty surprised at this point if he's back, just because San Jose State, you just can't sustain success there, I don't believe.
Yeah, boy, that would be interesting to see where he goes. I agree with that, you know, that statement for sure. It just doesn't seem like, I mean, wasn't it San Jose State the other night? Like, there's hardly anybody in the gym. So yep. If you're Tim Miles, you're looking around like, dude, if this is the best it's going to be, no, I'm out.
Yeah, it's just a struggle. I mean, the money, the fans, for everything, it just, you know, isn't there at a level to compete. And, you know, that's why the fifth place coach was Mountain West Coach of the Year, because everyone in this league knows that's a place you basically can't win at. So the fact that he has at that level, if offers come, I would have to think he'll go, and I would have to think offers come. That Cal job is probably the most interesting one, or maybe most likely one, that there's a lot of smoke circling around that.
Kevin, all right, final thoughts here. I believe the Rams are 9.5-point dogs in this game. What are we thinking? History, a little history here, a little upset going to happen, or do they cover? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe I'm being too blindly optimistic. I think CSU hangs in. I can't pick CSU to win, but I think they'll be in the game late. So I guess what I'm kind of saying is I can see a cover, but I'm not willing to make the huge leap to a massive upset victory.
Well, don't you think if they can get that first half, if they can keep it close, then you start to believe, and that's what we always say, good teams versus mediocre teams, whatever. If you give them a belief early on, then hang around, then in the second half, maybe they spill that confidence over, and who knows, they get over the top. So I think that first half is just going to absolutely be critical.
Yeah, 100%, because you look at the two matchups. In the first one, CSU, I believe, was leading at halftime, and then the one in San Diego, it was pretty much game over by halftime. You just can't get down, 8-10 points early on San Diego State, because they'll just suffocate the life out of you.
Now, Kevin, you've been doing a phenomenal job, as always, covering this tournament. I love your stories on the games and the side story, so we'll be looking out for some more stuff from you coming out at the Colorado and throughout the week.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me. And hopefully there's a lot of good stuff for people to read. It's an interesting week for CSU, for sure.
No question about it. Kevin, my man, we'll see you when you get back, and we'll see what the Rams can do today.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and 9.5-point dogs. I just think that if you can keep this thing close in the first half, then that's when CSU starts to believe. And then it's like, dude, we just got a half of basketball. We just got to play lights out here. We can do this. It can happen. I think it can happen, but you are going to have Isaiah's got to do his thing, which I don't doubt that he will. John Tanjay, throughout the season, he was kind of inconsistent, but the last month he has picked up his game. But as Kevin said, one of those other guys is probably going to have to add something else to it, whether that's a massive rebound game, whether that's they're filling up the scoreboard with on the box score. Holyoke texted in yesterday. I was thinking, stock the pond with Jalen Lake. What Jalen Lake? He did what did he do? 4 points? Wasn't great, but he did have 5 boards. So all right. But today has to be about Isaiah Told You So Rivera. I love that, man. That's great. That's a connection. That's a hooligan right there. That's a Holyoke is a Hall of Famer. A Holy Famer, for sure. No question about it. Isaiah Told You So Rivera. You think so, Angel? We're going to take some of that magic from the Battleground Pro Wrestling? Isaiah, or is it Isaiah? No, it's not Isaiah. Gino. Gino Told You So Rivera. Now it's Isaiah Told You So Rivera. I love that connection, by the way. That's great. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly on the other side, thanks to FMS Bank. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. My poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. You guys can go vote there. Last night was rough. We'll get to that in a moment. But poll question is, does a loss like the Nuggets suffered to the Bulls concern you about Denver's finals hopes? Go vote at theholeshow.com. First, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFK. Well, the good are the two obvious ones. CU beat Washington yesterday. CU kind of had control throughout this game. Washington made it close back and forth down the stretch, but the Buffs were able to hit some big shots late, and then the free throw work took care of business there. The Colorado State Rams, of course, barely beat Fresno State. Felt like it should have been by a lot more, but Isaiah Stevens was tremendous with that game winner. The bad for me, I'm going to go Nikola Jokic last night. He just didn't look right. We're going to talk about this more throughout the show today. It goes along with our poll question. I don't know why he was shooting so many threes. And they weren't, I mean, it was just uncharacteristic of Nikola Jokic. 3 of 9 from the three-point line. He doesn't shoot very often anyway. And then suddenly he's shooting 9 three-pointers. He had 18 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. He's that good of a player where we look at that stat line and go, that's not very good. That's the bad. The ugly is the loss to Chicago. A Chicago team that's 30-30. They were 30-35 before, or 29-36 before that game. You just expect that's a game where Denver should win that one. You know, we're talking about setting yourself up for seeding and all of that and where you can be here. And you come out like that, especially that third quarter was awful. They are outscored 36-24 by Chicago. Couldn't hit free throws. Couldn't hit three-pointers. Jamal did tie the three-point record, did not break it. So a lot of things working on the Nuggets right now mentally. We'll see how that one shakes out. All right, that's it for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Are we concerned here? Now, Angel, you're a pretty optimistic guy. You're a pretty positive guy. But you're not. When you start pressing the panic button, that's when people all over the land should be concerned. I know you're not about to do that, though. I can already tell.
No.
No, you're not even close. That kind of game, though, and the game against Toronto, give me a little concern today. Am I still picking the Nuggets to win the title? I'm still going there. But I have to see a quick turnaround. I have to see a quick one against the Spurs.
I'm not there. It seems the rest of Nuggets Nation is panicked, freaking out, giving up, lost all hope. It's a loss to an Eastern Conference team that doesn't hurt your standings in the West. I'm not worried about the East right now. I'm worried about the West. It's a bad game. They weren't going to win their last 20 games in a row and just sail off into the playoffs as the greatest team ever. You're going to have losses like this. You're going to have games like this where your guys just aren't making shots, where the effort's not there.
But this was more than just not making shots. This was shot selection. That's my problem with it. You're going to have dunks that apparently don't go
in. When nobody else is making shots, you have to shoot yourself. Not like that, but geez. Jesus.
Well, the Nuggets shot themselves in the foot several times.
You have to take the basketball shots yourself.
A couple of notes. So the record still matters. I mean, even though it's an Eastern Conference team, loss and wins still, that's what we're looking at first here. So Sacramento, the team that nobody's talking about, you know, if they can get up and obviously increase that record, I don't see that big of a catch by the Kings. We'll talk about this in the lunch rush, but the Grizzlies got great news and bad news. It was a weird night for Memphis, so we'll talk about that. But this is my problem. No, I'm not expecting them to win the final 18 games or whatever, but it's a home game. You've only lost 4 before that, and you don't just lose, you get your kicked. I mean, it was Joker's out of the game with 3-4 minutes left because they're losing so badly. The Toronto game was a little bit of a scare, but they come back and they make it, you know, they do their thing, and it was great. But there is a slight concern because I've never seen Nikola Jokic, not in his MVP runs the last 3 years, I've never seen him play quite like that. I don't know if it was just an off night. That's where I want to go with this. But I think on this day, this ninth day of March, it's worth a discussion looking at it going, why are you taking, and again, some of these weren't just, I'm going to hurry up and shoot a three, or I don't have much time, nobody's moving. Joker just looked like he decided, hey, let me take, it felt like to me, it's like, let me take the easy way and just see if I can pop a three. That's what it looked like. When has he ever shot 9 3-pointers in a game? And that's my concern here. He was 1 for 4 from the free throw line. All those things were extremely uncharacteristic of our hopeful 3-time MVP. And I'm just telling you, 4 more performances similar to that. Because again, the 18 points, the 12 rebounds, 8 assists, those are all nice. But if we're going to be fair here, we're talking about efficiency and saying, well, yeah, but Joker's more efficient. You go 3 from 9 from the 3-point line when you're doing things that's not really your number one thing in your repertoire. That's something he can do. He can hit threes. But you can't have a repeat performance of this. I do tend to agree a little with Tanner from Good Morning NoCo about calling, Jared Bednar called out his guy. He called out Miko the other day about, just we got to be better. We got to be smarter. Is this something where you look at your superstar and say, dude, what was that? What was that last night? Because the shot selection is my biggest concern. You're going to miss shots. The greatest teams in the world will miss shots and have bad nights. But I hated the shot selection. It didn't feel like a Nuggets basketball team last night. And that's where my biggest concern is. Lose this game 117 to 112, whatever. And it's like, the shots just weren't going down. And that sucked. I'm still not happy about it, but we'll survive. But I was really disappointed with the shot selection, the overall effort. I don't know if the 3-point record is in Jamal Murray's brain a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if the outside noise is bugging the Joker a little bit because this has become very loud and he has acknowledged it for the first time. So those are all the things I talked about last week. Let's see how the Joker handles that now that he actually has let some of the national narrative creep into his brain. The San Antonio game's a big one. Let me read a couple of texts. Lane says, zero concern. It was a bad night. You could see lack of passing, terrible shots, bad luck, bad coaching. If they repeat this on the next game, it's a concern but not a panic. Guy says, I agree with Shane. Sometimes you need a reminder that when you don't bring your A game, any team in the league can and will beat you. Gabe says, I'm not really. They were due for a bad game. If it bleeds into another loss or two, I'll get concerned. And I'm more or less there. We better not see this kind of performance against San Antonio. When is that? Is that tomorrow? I believe that's tomorrow. But they're on the road. This is one of those games where we said you got to win because, Angel, that final 7-8 games is a tough stretch. You don't want to put to that. You don't want to get to the point where those final 7 or 8 games are the games that you really need to win like 6 or 5 of them in order to lock up that first seed. You want to get that work done now. 38 minutes after the hour. We'll talk more about this. Your thoughts on it. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Does a loss like the Nuggets suffer to the Bulls concern you about Denver's finals hopes? Go vote again at theholeshow.com. We'll break into that more and more throughout the day today. We got the lunch rush coming up at noon. The future of CSU, CU, and UNC when it comes to hoops. Are we optimistic that we'll see some bounce backs? And again, we still have the Pac-12 tournament going on. The Buffs got UCLA. The Rams got San Diego State. Both very difficult battles coming up for them coming up at 1 o'clock today. But it does have me thinking, okay, well, what's the future look like for our Bears, too? Hearing Matt Johnson on the show, he's gone. So what does basketball look like here on the 9th day of March? Just looking forward here, with some games still to go. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's windy today, but it's getting warmer and warmer. Hopefully the cold, snowy weather's kind of starting to back away here, and you can start dreaming of getting out on the golf course, and where better to do that than the Eaton Country Club. You'll be back to hitting fairways and knocking down putts at Northern Colorado's hidden gem, the Eaton Country Club. Membership opportunities can be found at eatoncc.net. Again, that's eatoncc.net. We're going to be out at McCarty's Grill next Friday, 10 o'clock watch party. For all things March Madness. So we want you to come out, hang out with us there at McCarty's Grill. And get in our bracket challenge if you haven't yet. So we're going to do, throughout the day today, we're just going to do kind of a fun thing. Text in the show. We'll get you in if you haven't done it so already. I need your email address. If you're not in, you didn't get the invite yet, just hang on. Those of you that were in last year got the invite. Those of you that are just now getting in, we haven't sent your invite yet. So don't worry. Don't panic. Don't panic like Nuggets Nation's doing today. But if you guys want in, I need your email address. So text us in on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The winner of this bracket challenge. I'll win, obviously, but I can't win the prizes. So second place, then, I guess, will win a foursome to the Eaton Country Club and $200 cold hard cash courtesy of Bear Insurance, who's helping us out there. So, man, I mean, even if you're not a golfer, $200, that's pretty sweet. But you got to try to beat me. You know, that's the best part about this is if you can beat me in this thing, then, you know, you have bragging rights throughout the world. And I was wrong. I didn't finish top three last year, but that was an off year for me. Everybody knows that. The year before that, I did finish in the top three. So we'll do that again. We'll reload. I think I got a little too crazy with the Mountain West. I picked a lot of Mountain West teams to go far, and I spoke with my heart a little too much. I picked my bracket too much with my heart. We're not doing that this year. CSU is likely not going to be in it. So I have no – CSU is not going to be in it. UNC's out. So I have none of my teams that I follow that are really going to be in this thing. Although I just probably jinxed the Rams and Buffs in a good way. They'll probably go on and win their tournaments, and then they're in. B-Rad talking about the Nuggets. Joker needs the Hooligans help. Hashtag bring back Nuggets tickets. Hopefully we get back in the mix for that next year. But pretty big crowd last night. A lot of Bulls fans in attendance. Does that bug you? I mean, it would have been nice to win that, and Malone could have done his infamous take the L on the way out, but that was not the case last night.
I feel like the Bulls are a popular team. I do have a theory as to why the Nuggets did lose.
I would like you to tell me that theory.
So new Broncos head coach Sean Payton was in attendance last night.
Oh, he was there.
And the Nuggets lost. So I decided to do a little fact-checking. I went back to last season when Nathaniel Hackett went to a Nuggets game for the first time. And they lost.
So it's a Broncos thing.
It is a Broncos thing.
Although Russ was at the Memphis game that they won last year. Because I was at that game. I just remember. I don't know if that was his first one he went to. But he was sitting courtside. That was the game the Nuggets won. And obviously Joker eclipsed the 2,000-1,500 mark. So Russ is the good luck charm, not the head coaching staff.
Russ is definitely the X factor.
Although Sierra was there, too.
That could also be it.
So that could be it. Maybe
in terms of head coaches, not a good luck charm for the Nuggets.
Is that a bad... The bigger story of the day, is that a bad sign going forward for the Broncos?
That's another side of this. Well, Peyton goes to Nuggets, Nuggets lose, Broncos have a bad season. It all kind of circulates in itself.
Yeah, that's probably it. Dude, that was a weird game, though. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Jamal Murray had a wide-open dunk. Joker with a beautiful pass. He goes up, dunk it, one-armed it, and it just, like, goes in and out. That happened, like, twice.
Murray's shots felt short all night.
Yeah. Do you think that the three-point thing is that's getting in his head?
Yes. It was definitely in his head.
Hopefully
yesterday.
He just break the damn record quickly and be done with it.
Because he had tweeted about it yesterday.
Shouldn't have done that.
Today is the day.
I was worried about that.
He's wearing his bright blue shoes. Everyone was hyping it up.
And you know,
he was, like, credit to him, he wasn't forcing shots.
No, but he wasn't.
But the shots that he normally makes, they just were short.
He just wasn't aggressive. I mean, shot 15 times, but they were bad. They weren't 4 of 15.
And then he was the first on the bench, so he was staggering with the bench unit, which we haven't seen in a couple of weeks since they've got their other guys in and have started switching those rotations. So that was interesting. When I saw that.
Is it weird that, and I'm not saying this would have saved anything, but Christian Brown's minutes since the...
He disappeared,
man. This is kind of what Malone does, though. He teases us with these young guys, and we go, okay, we're kind of in there. And then when we get past the All-Star break, unless it's necessity like we saw last year, out of necessity like we saw last year with Bones, we're seeing these guys peel off a little bit. But again, you're just talking about that bench unit. It was rough again last night. Thomas Bryant had 10, but still, you know, minus 7 in the plus minus there. So last night was just a bad night. It was a bad night. And I'm likely going there. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if we see the San Antonio game and Joker goes off, Jamal hits the gets the record, and all is forgiven for the moment. But this kind of game just gives me pause, where you back away and go, are they good enough to win it all this year? And I'm not, like I said, dude, they're a playoff team. They're first round, going to get past that, assuming you don't lock up with somebody really unfavorable like a Golden State. This team is good enough to go fairly deep, but we're talking about hoisting a trophy this year. That's where the expectations are. So when I see lousy games like that and lousy shot selection, it gives me a bit of pause. So that's where I am today. Just flabbergasted by Nikola Jokic and the shot selection. It just felt like they weren't really in it, and it was like, you know what? I'm just going to take threes. If we can shoot our way back into the game, then there we go. Maybe we can find a way to win that way instead of setting up our offense. I didn't like the way they set up the offense. I didn't think they got Joker involved enough. And then I felt like maybe subconsciously he almost felt that. He's like, fine, I'll just take it and shoot it. He never shoots threes. In fact, I want him to shoot more. And last night was the complete opposite. It's like, where is this coming from?
They had a very slow start. And the last couple of games, they've started off really well. Like against Toronto, they were up like 12-4 to start. And when they get off to those good starts and Jokic is in the paint doing his work, Aaron Gordon is cutting at the right time and your shooters are making their outside threes, it allows that defense, not the offense, the defense, to spread out. And then that's when Jokic starts to go to work and he starts doing his calculations on every single play. This is what they're doing here. This is what they're doing there. When you're off to a slow start, you start forcing it. You start getting desperate. And I think Jokic, I think especially in that second quarter, he was looking for that spark when it was still a 6-7 point game. Okay, one shot here, we can get back going. Unfortunately, you just don't make those shots, and that spark is harder and harder to find. You start looking for it on the bench. It's not there. No one has the spark tonight.
This is where I want to see, and again, I'm not pretending that I'm there watching and hearing everything that Malone's doing in the timeouts, but when I see a coach take a timeout, I want them coming out in a different way after the timeout. We're running offense. We're doing things differently. Nothing changed after the timeouts. Nothing changed in that stretch for Joker was let's keep shooting threes. And I cannot imagine Malone's drawing that up as a play, as a way we can get back into this game. It just did not feel like Nuggets basketball last night. 51 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. More on that. More coming up as the Buffs get set to take on UCLA. We'll talk about their win over Washington yesterday. The Colorado State Rams going forward today against San Diego State. Big battles for both teams. Who do you guys think has a better shot of getting past their second rounds? 11:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new Ed in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. If you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Cain, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Brian and Tanner yesterday were talking a lot about the honor flight and what Brian's work was there, and this law firm stepped up and donated $1,000 to the cause for veterans so they can go and see the memorials that honor them. That I love that. It's an amazing thing that they're doing. But this just goes to show you, this is a law firm that gets it. There's a lot of sleazy law firms out there that are ambulance chasers or whatever. That's not who these guys are. And our guy Jerry Schimmel, who I think we all love and respect. I mean, he was an attorney. He's worked with these guys. He knows these guys. So he certainly vouches for Cain, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm. trialproven.com. Those of you listening, if you've gotten in a car accident, you know somebody that has, suggest this law firm to them, trialproven.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I don't think either one of us have the Buffs or the Rams picked to get past today, do we? Or are you so who has the better shot? Because San Diego State is a really good team. UCLA is a really good team. UCLA is a better team, but CU is a better team than CSU. So it all kind of works out where it's maybe a pick 'em here. Who's got the better shot of surviving the day?
I think CU does.
You do. See, and I'm going with CSU. UCLA, although, do they care about this game? They may really not care at all.
I think both teams are in that situation.
That's why these tournaments, everybody gets so up in arms about them. I'm like, really? The top teams don't care about them as much because they've already achieved their goal, and that's to go dance. That's what it's about. Conference championships and all that are neato, but getting a chance to dance in March Madness, that's what it's all about. All right, Lunch Rush coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.